Hello, thank you for joining us today. My name is Tom Lane with Sabbath Bible Study. As Christians, we seek first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness as we live our life on this planet. Even when our immediate attention may be diverted to another area of focus, we still seek first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness. For instance, if we find ourselves cooking something for dinner that requires careful and constant attention so that it is cooked without burning it, our attention will be pretty focused on what we are cooking for dinner. That doesn't mean that seeking first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness is forgotten because we cook the meal. As we cook the meal, we will not abandon principles of Christian living that we would be expected to follow. When we buy the groceries or pick vegetables from our garden, we will not abandon what we are supposed to be doing, because at all times we live our life reflecting that we first seek the kingdom of God and God's righteousness. We know that at the return of Jesus Christ, we want to be counted worthy of the resurrection and eternal life. So we find ourselves constantly doing what is expected of us, even when we are completing the more mundane tasks of life. John the Baptist fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah the prophet of one crying in the wilderness who came to prepare the way for Jesus Christ. Preparing the way for Jesus Christ was essential. And yet how John the Baptist dressed flew in the face of what was expected of the religious elite. Instead of wearing expensive clothing to signify a higher class of society, John the Baptist wore clothes made out of camel hair, which was more durable and inexpensive, along with a leather belt. To feed himself, he ate locusts and wild honey, giving the impression that John the Baptist lived on the fringe of society. Yet, having this fringe look, people came to him to be baptized and to confess their sins. Even the Pharisees and Sadducees came to his baptism. And unlike the mass of people who were baptized, John the Baptist called out the Pharisees and Sadducees as a generation of vipers, calling them a group of snakes. Today, when a person is called a snake and it has nothing to do with the Chinese zodiac, it's not a compliment. He warned them that they thought they spiritually had it made because they were descendants of Abraham, and told them that what counted was not lineage, but character, that they had to bring forth fruit worthy of repentance. He went on to explain that while he baptized with water, Jesus Christ would come and baptize with the Holy Spirit and fire, and that not even he was worthy to fill the shoes of Jesus. Matthew 3, verse 1. In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair, and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, "O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits, meat for repentance. And think not to say within yourself, we have Abraham to our father, for I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid under the root of the trees, therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Jesus showed that if we want to be part of the kingdom of God, having eternal life, we need to do the will of God, our Father who is in heaven. We must do more than just give lip service when it comes to salvation, because we must do the will of God. And the will of God is focused on God's righteousness. There is nothing about the will of God that is unrighteous. God's righteousness must become the substance of who we are. Some may think that having a form of righteousness is sufficient by doing things which are spiritually impressive, like prophesying, casting out demons, and doing things which in the mind of people would make a person spiritually minded. Jesus taught we have to have the substance of God's righteousness within us. We have to be doing the will of God our Father. With that substance of God's righteousness, there is no place for unrighteousness. We cannot deceive ourselves into thinking because we have the Holy Spirit, it is somehow acceptable to allow any type of evil to be part of who we are. We will work hard to establish a strong spiritual foundation in our life that is based in overcoming sin. Matthew 7, verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house. And it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Throughout our life, we will be working to be constantly ready for the return of Jesus Christ, so that when he does return, we are worthy of eternal life and the kingdom of God. Jesus showed his disciples through a parable that when the kingdom of God is established, not all who are called will be worthy to be part of the kingdom of God. Few are chosen as being worthy. To be worthy, we need to be doing the will of God our Father, not having a form of righteousness, but living our life with the substance of righteousness that excludes any place for sin. Whenever we find sin in our life, we will fight sin and never surrender to sin. Matthew 22, verse 1. And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables, and said, The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king, which made a marriage for his son, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again he sent forth other servants, saying, Tell them which are bidden, Behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready, come unto the marriage. But they made light of it, and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants, and entreated them spitefully, and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, And he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. Then saith he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out to the highways, and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good. And the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, Friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to his servants, Bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. In the letter to the church in Sardis, we can see that overcoming is part of how we establish ourselves to be worthy. If we make the mistake to embrace sin, to excuse any action that the Bible calls sin, because we were born that way, we allow ourselves to be spiritually defiled as much as if we knowingly embrace spiritual error as spiritual truth. Whenever we find sin in our life, we will fight sin and never surrender to sin. Revelation 3, verse 1. And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, These things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God, and the seven stars, I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful, and strengthen the things which remain, that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief. Thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names even in Sardis which have not defiled their garments. And they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. But I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Paul encouraged the Ephesians to walk worthy of their spiritual calling. We can't claim to be Christian when living a life that is opposed to the faith, and expect that will satisfy God and Jesus Christ. If God and Jesus Christ rejected Satan and the demons for their opposition, any person who lives in opposition to the faith will also be ultimately rejected. Instead of living a life based on arrogant pride where some think they are free to live a life of sin, we know we need to be living our life aligned to the righteousness of God, where there is no place for evil and sin. We will live our life having no place for evil and sin in our life as we seek first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness. And we will be humble and meek. We will also be patient and tolerant as we work to keep the unity of the Holy Spirit and the bond of peace. Make no mistake, keeping the unity of the Holy Spirit is something we work for. Because human nature is involved as part of who we are, we work to keep the unity of the Holy Spirit, because God and Jesus Christ are not divided. Ephesians 4, verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Paul gave a similar message to the Colossians. They were told to walk worthy in the Lord, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Paul did not encourage them to be spiritually fruitful in some of the things they did, but in everything that they did. There is never a place for a Christian to place their faith on a shelf and then do something contrary to the faith. What we do at all times must be aligned to the righteousness of God that, along with the kingdom of God, we seek first. Think about how frustrating it is when something simple like finances changes in our life. If all of a sudden our income goes down or monthly expenses rise, that can become a very big deal because our income and expenses are out of alignment. For those who drive, it's important for wheels to be aligned on the car, because if they are out of alignment, the wheels will tend to pull the vehicle to the left or right, and the tires will have wear down in uneven ways, shortening tire life. We cannot live our life out of alignment with what God expects of us, because the spiritual consequences are huge. As we live our life doing what God expects of us, we should feel strengthened by the Holy Spirit, and we should live our life with patience and joy as we give thanks to God our Father, knowing that Jesus Christ died for our sins and was resurrected so we can have eternal life. Colossians 1, verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Paul told the Thessalonians they were called to be in the kingdom of God and to have eternal life. And then he reminded them of how he and his entourage preached to them. He showed what he and his entourage did was holy and just, having no blame, and then told them to also do what was holy and just, having no blame. When we think today of doing what is holy and just, having no blame, immediately what comes to mind is we need to be very cautious about what we do. The rest of this world might, without regard, simply do what everybody else is doing, but we do not have that luxury. We need to carefully evaluate what we do, because we must be doing only those things which are aligned to God's righteousness. What everybody else is doing in this world may or may not be aligned to God's righteousness, and we must only do those things which are aligned to God's righteousness. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 9. For you remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you, we preached unto you the gospel of God. Ye are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. As you know, how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father doth his children, that ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. If we want to be worthy to be part of the kingdom of God, having eternal life, we cannot value any person more than God our Father or Jesus Christ. That doesn't mean we become antisocial, living as hermits, but it does mean no person, not even those closest to us, are more important than God our Father or Jesus Christ. All of us have our share of spiritual burdens. If we choose not to accept those spiritual burdens for whatever reason, we are not worthy to be part of the kingdom of God, having eternal life. There cannot be part of the faith we accept and part of the faith we reject. We embrace all of the faith, even if from time to time living our life of faith is sometimes hard. Matthew 10, verse 34. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I come not to send peace, but a sword. For I come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And the man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. When the Sadducees tried to corner Jesus into explaining the resurrection, because they didn't believe in the resurrection, they used an example of a woman who had multiple husbands because her husbands all died. They wanted to know who her husband would be in the resurrection. Jesus explained that those who are worthy will have eternal life, and life as we know it will be much different than what is known. Marriage between people, which plays a huge role in society today, will not be a part of our spiritual society then. Sometimes overlooked in this response to the Sadducees' question on marriage is the concept of first needing to be worthy to have eternal life. From the many writings of Paul, we know eternal life is a gift from God. And from the words of Jesus, we know eternal life as a gift from God is based on being worthy. It's like we give graduation gifts to those who graduate, marriage shower gifts to those who marry, and baby shower gifts to those who are having a baby. We do not give graduation gifts to those who are not graduating, nor do we give marriage shower gifts to those who are not engaged, nor do we give baby shower gifts to those not expecting any children. Certain types of gifts are given to those who are worthy of the gift, and the gift of eternal life is no different. Luke 20, verse 27. Then came to him certain of the Sadducees, which deny that there is any resurrection. And they asked him, saying, Master, Moses wrote unto us, if any man's brother die, having a wife, and he die without children, that his brother should take his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. There were therefore seven brethren. The first took a wife and died without children. And the second took her to wife, and he died childless. And the third took her, and in like manner the seven also, and they left no children and died. Last of all, the woman died also. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife of them is she? For seven had her to wife. And Jesus answering said unto them, the children of this world marry, and are given in marriage, but they which shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world, and the resurrection from the dead, neither marry nor are given in marriage. Neither can they die any more, for they are equal unto the angels and are the children of God, being the children of the resurrection. Living our life and being worthy of eternal life means we yield to the lead of the Holy Spirit as we yield to the authority and power of God our Father and Jesus Christ. Jesus taught that he was the way, truth, and life, that no man could come to God our Father but by Jesus. If we want to be worthy of eternal life, we live our life knowing it is by Jesus that eternal life is given by God our Father. John 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go you know, and the way you know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If we want to be worthy of eternal life, we will live our life reflecting standards that are worthy of eternal life. To begin with, we will seek unity of the Spirit, having one mind and one common purpose, where we seek first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness. What we do through faith will not be self-serving, nor will we focus on disputes of doubtful matters, which only create strife. What we will do is value others of the faith more than we value ourself. In addition to what is important to us, we will value what is important to others. Just like Jesus, who was God and who was with God, was willing to die and be resurrected so we could have eternal life, and esteemed God our Father in so doing, we need to esteem others of the faith more than we esteem ourselves. Philippians 2, verse 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. In different ways in the New Testament, we are shown that if we want to be worthy, We must value eternal life to come more than the life we have now. To be worthy, we must live our life reflecting the spiritual qualities of righteousness, and we need to avoid sin like the plague. We need to subdue sin that is found so easily within the human experience. To be worthy while living as a mortal human, we have to be putting away that sin while we are putting on what is righteousness. Some of those qualities of righteousness are kindness, humility, meekness, patience, tolerance, forgiveness, and above all, love, all while being thankful. Colossians 3, verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. To be worthy, we need to align what we do to what is taught in the Bible. Faith is not a playground for us to invent concepts that we like, but is the substance of things hoped for, which is taught in the Bible, the evidence of things not seen. To be worthy, we must have faith and remain loyal to what is taught in the Bible, and not teachings based on the ideas of man. Simply put, to be worthy, we will become godly. And not the type of godliness that is thought of as the prosperity gospel. The godliness that those who are worthy will have is linked to contentment. We sadly live in a world where too many seek happiness, and happiness is not a destination that can be found. Happiness is a choice linked to contentment, which is linked to godliness, which is linked to being worthy of eternal life. 1 Timothy 6, verse 3. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. To be worthy, the faith that we have will be more than just an affirmation of words. The faith that is needed to be worthy is a faith that is not established by our words, but what we do. If we want to be worthy, we will do more than sing the praises of God our Father and Jesus Christ. We will live our life being led by the Holy Spirit and surrender to God our Father and Jesus Christ. We will live our life seeking first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness by doing those things which are righteous. Those who make the mistake of singing the praises of God our Father and Jesus Christ, but who live their life opposed to what God our Father and Jesus Christ taught, will not be worthy. James 2, verse 14. What does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, Depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God? Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works, when he offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers, and had sent them out another way. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. To be worthy, we must live our life knowing we were created in Jesus Christ for good works, to walk in them. When Jesus Christ died, that did create the opportunity to receive the gift of eternal life. To receive that gift, we need to live our life doing good works. In other words, what Jesus taught. And what Jesus taught reflects what was taught in the Bible. There is no disagreement between what Jesus taught and what is taught elsewhere in the Bible. Ephesians 2, verse 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We need to consider that all we learn spiritually through the faith leads us to a place where we are worthy of eternal life. When Paul wrote the Thessalonians and told them, his entourage prayed for them to be worthy of the calling they had been given. He was showing that being worthy is something we are evaluated on throughout our life. If being worthy of the calling they had been given was already checked off by God, there would be no need for Paul's entourage to pray that they be counted worthy, because that would have already happened. Paul was explaining this in light of persecution the church was receiving. It is easy to be a person of faith when faith is not challenged. It becomes increasingly more challenging to be a person of faith when faith is challenged or persecuted. Wherever we find ourselves in faith, whether it be we can live a life of faith without being challenged, or if we find ourselves challenged or persecuted, we must live a life of faith doing what is expected of us as we seek first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness. 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 3. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for the patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffer, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation of them that trouble you. And to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven and with his mighty angels. In flaming fire, take vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in the saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling, and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you, and ye in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. We have been called to the faith, and it is our individual responsibility to seek first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness by doing what is righteous and not doing what is sinful. We must transform our mind from thinking just like another human who can only consider the knowledge of good and evil, and consider and do righteousness, which leads to eternal life. We must be worthy of the calling we have been given. Thank you for joining us today. God willing, we'll get together next time on the Sabbath. Until then, thank you for joining us today.